Hello there, welcome to IASB Update. This is a podcast summary of the meeting of the IASB, which took place on the 18th and 19th of June at the IASB offices in London. I'm joined here today by Stephen Cooper, who's a member of the IASB, and Alan Teixeira, Senior Technical Director of the IASB, who are going to take us through the topics of discussion that took place during the meeting. Stephen, would you like to start with, I believe, financial instruments and classification and measurement?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Well, this is an extremely short meeting this month. The IASB has a lot of documents out for comment, or the comment period has just expired. So the actual meeting time that we spent discussing projects was very limited. Nevertheless, let's start off with the first one, which is classification and measurement. Well, this in fact was feedback from the exposure process. The IASB had an exposure draft out for limited amendments to classification and measurement under IFRS 9. The key aspect of which was perhaps the introduction of a third category, fair value through OCI, that isn't present in the current version of IFRS 9. So while the IASB had a summary of the comment letters presented at the last month's meeting, the staff hadn't quite finished looking at the feedback from investors. As is common amongst these projects, the IASB pays particular attention to try and get feedback from investors on its proposals, and we tend to find ways of supplementing the limited number of comment letters we get from investors through additional outreach, surveys and other means. So this was a summary by the staff to the board of the feedback that we got from investors overall through all the various means that we have employed to get that. I think it's fair to say that the feedback from investors was not inconsistent with the rest of the feedback that we've had, and in particular on the question of the use of fair value OCI as a measurement category. The feedback was mixed, as it was for other participants. I think there was a group that fully supported the ED and the objectives of having that third measurement category based upon the business model of holding to collect and sell. There was another group that favoured the use of OCI and having additional measurement category, but didn't wholly agree with the approach that the IASB has adopted and wanted either a wider or a narrower or a different group of assets to be there. There was another group of investors that disagreed with the use of OCI, feeling that it was adding unnecessary complexity, or that it wasn't possible to identify a separate business model and that we should stick with what we have in the current IFRS 9 or some other variation of having two measurement bases. So the feedback was mixed, but it was nevertheless not saying that it's not useful to have that feedback, and certainly we had some good ideas and useful commentary from the investors through the various means that we had to obtain that. So that's essentially it. Now, the IASB will start re-deliberating classification and measurement over the coming months. I don't have the detailed plan for that. But that also will coincide with redeliberations of the other exposure draft in the financial instruments area, which is impairment. The comment period on that expires early July, and the staff intend to bring an initial summary of the feedback that it's received through the comment letters and through other means to the July meeting, which in fact will be a joint meeting with the FASB, given the importance many attach to the convergence in this area, mm-hmm. and the fact that the FASB have their own different proposals out for comment, the comment period of which closed recently. So there will be a joint meeting to discuss the feedback that both boards have received on impairment in July.
Okay, thank you very much, Stephen. Next item on the agenda, the comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs. Alan?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. We're getting a little bit towards the end of this review, and it's the IFRS for SMEs. This is our first major review. It's based on quite a bit of feedback we've had from an advisory group. First thing, we actually took this to our IFRS Advisory Council, and I thought it would be helpful to summarise a couple of aspects of the feedback we got. Really, there were three issues that were important. The first is whether or not we should permit the use of IAS for SMEs for publicly accountable entities, which is what some people would like. And the Advisory Council majority actually favoured keeping the requirement that we currently have that would prevent such entities asserting compliance with IFRS for SMEs. Essentially, the sentiment is that if you're a listed entity, publicly accountable, then you should apply full IFRS and not the IFRS for SMEs. The other was to address changes to full IFRS during reviews of IFRS for SMEs and how frequently we should actually review the SME standard. And the issue there again is that as we develop IFRS over time, IFRS for SMEs is supposed to be consistent with the full IFRS suite. And there's a bit of a dilemma there in a sense in that these smaller entities, less public accountability, they're often less able to deal with constant change. This is sort of what we call a proportionality problem. Their accounting divisions aren't as big as they are in the larger publicly listed entities, for example. And so I think they tend to value stability a little bit more than the comparability with the full IFRS at times. But it's also important that we don't get too far away. The whole idea of IFRS for SMEs, it's a stepping stone into full IFRS. The feedback we got from the IFRS Advisory Council was that the priority should be to provide a stable environment, an independent standalone, but it should still be aligned if we can with IFRS for SMEs, but it's that stability that's important. And they suggested that we increase the timing between future reviews from 3 to 5 years. That just gives a longer period of stability for those particular entities. As well as that, we did discuss a few technical issues in there. One is that when we actually produced the IFRS for SMEs initially, we based the income taxes section on an exposure draft that was supposed to be an amendment to our standard IAS 16 as part of the full suite. And we didn't finalise the proposals in that exposure draft. And that meant, of course, that the IFRS for SMEs leapt ahead of full IFRS's. And given that we have not finalised that ED, it was in 2009, what we're going to do is take steps to realign the IFRS for SME section 29. That's going to be realigned back towards our existing IAS 12 income taxes. So there will be some adjustments there to, you know, that's that alignment issue. There are quite a few other areas we had a look at, I think relatively small issues. It's easier, I think, if people listening probably get hold of ISB update, they can see those in a bit more detail and go back to look at the papers if they want to. Basically, next step, they've really completed the main discussions in there. The step now is that we're going to review all the due process to make sure that we've actually completed all the steps necessary to be sure that the board's comfortable and satisfied with the work it's done. And then we'll start preparing an exposure draft, and that will mean that we'll expose any potential changes to the IFRS for SMEs.
Okay, thanks very much. And as you mentioned, a PDF version of ISB update, given a more detailed technical review of the goings-on of the meeting, is available via our website, www.ifrs.org. But finally, I think we're going to discuss annual improvements to IFRS.
Yeah, this is just the other little wrap-up we had for a couple of our annual improvement cycles. We've actually, interestingly, the 2011 to 2013 cycle, which was quite small, it had four amendments affecting IFRS 1, the first-time adopters, business combinations, fair value measurement, and investment properties, IAS 40. That because there are only four in there, that's actually leapt ahead a little bit of the 2010-2012 cycle, which we also discussed. They're both being prepared now for finalisation. The board was very comfortable and happy to go ahead with finalising the four narrow scope amendments in the 2011-13 cycle. We had a very small sweep issue related to share-based payments in the 2010-12 cycle. What we're doing now is we're going to prepare both of those for finalisation, and it's likely that we'll put the two packages together and finalise those with some of the narrow scope amendments towards the end of this year. And that will give us a little bit more. We've been concerned about the number of separate or individual items out there for exposure and finalisation. By putting those all together, we're going to end up with one suite of changes, At the moment, the target is for the narrow scope ones. They will be mandatory from 1 July 2014, but early adoption will be available as well.
Okay, good stuff. Other events we've got upcoming, the R4S conference in Amsterdam.
Yes, that's on Thursday and Friday, so the must be 27th and 28th, I think it is, of July. There are over 450 people registered for the conference. Two-day event with special workshops on the morning of the first day. And then we have a full technical update in the afternoon of the Thursday, and then more focused, topic-oriented sessions on the Friday, including breakout sessions or concurrent sessions as well.
Sure. And as always, full details available on our website.
There's just a couple of other things, actually. Chris, I mentioned we've got a trustee meeting coming up at the end of July, two publications coming out very shortly for those listening to this now. Bearer Biological Assets, there's an exposure draft, should be out this week. And IFRS for SMEs, we've got a special guidance, illustrative guidance, that is designed to help micro entities, much smaller entities, apply IFRS for SMEs, and that expected to be out this week as well.
Okay, fantastic. Well, look out for that. And that about wraps it up for us this month. The next board meeting takes place between the 18th and the 26th of July. As always, views expressed during this podcast reflect those of the individual presenters and do not necessarily reflect those of the IASB. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you again next month.